Hey, don't forget, this is the weekend of the Junior Giants Stretch Drive, jrgiants.com. $50, a beautiful pin you can get, and all sorts of stuff. And believe me, it is a good cause. All right, talking ball on this Saturday. Bruce Jenkins, how are you?
Good, Barney. How's it going?
Well, it's, as I always say, what a difference a week makes. Last weekend, there was disaster, and all of a sudden, the tonic came into town, the Angels, and the pitching has gotten better. And Bruce, they're doing things at the plate that that I haven't seen in years. It's quite a week of baseball.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, they're averaging around 6 runs a game at home, and it's reached the point where it's not really accidental, or you know, it's only been a few games. I mean, they are just hitting the ball hard, and they're so fun to watch, and it's been a particularly refreshing for the fans. I mean, because they had a really bad weekend. It was
so bad.
Yeah, and it's not like it didn't happen, but it's been, you know, a lot of it, that's bad karma around the team has totally been reversed. And you know, how can the Angels be this bad? I mean, Pujols, Ohtani, Simmons, and Trout, and you know, the kid Adele, their pitching obviously is not good, but they're remarkably bad for a team, you know, with some of the better star power in either league.
Yeah, they need someone to help Trout. Rendon is doing it, but in kind of in a soft way of watching him. And Ohtani has been awful. I mean, I can't believe it. I'm watching, you know, he's been just awful. There's no Upton in there. And their pitching is bad. And Joe Maddon, I don't see a good ending for Joe Maddon in this thing.
No, not at all. I mean, the one loss record speaks for itself, and you know that team is it just needs to be better. You know, at some point, you're certainly not going to get rid of Ohtani or any of those guys I mentioned, I wouldn't think. Although they could probably work out some kind of a trade for pitching, but you know, you got to develop your own pitching at some point, as the Giants are doing.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, and Bruce, my theme in this one. You know, it's a 60-game season, 28 are down. And if this was a normal season, we'd be in June, late June, early July. And we'd kind of know who's who and who's pitched and who can hit and all that stuff. And then you do your tinkering at that point. Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of there with this team, Bruce, and I don't think it's a fluke. I watch Yastrzemski's at-bats. I watch Flores' at-bats. My God. You try to throw an inside pitch, as Bill Lasky said, it's a Don Baylor, Frank Robinson. You throw it inside to this guy, he gets the bat on it. And I think they actually have a team that can hit.
I totally agree. I mean, you know, Yastrzemski, I think he's on his way to being a star. Not a Mike Trout-level star, but he's just a heck of a player, period. Yeah. You know, and going on two seasons now. And, Wilmer Flores, he's always been a good hitter. Like you say, low and in, man, I mean, a lot of lefties are known for low and in, but this guy, one of the better right-hand hitters on low and in balls. Of course, Trout's right there, too. But it's no accident. Flores and Donovan Solano, definitely no accident. I think Dickerson's going to be a lot better than he's been. And it's just and then Joey Bart, I mean, he's played 2 games and he's hit 2 balls that you're going to remember. You know, mm-hmm. That double last night was a scary shot to right field. It was hit so hard. I mean, Kruko suggested he could be the first guy ever to be a right-hand hitter to put one in the bay, and I don't doubt it at all.
No, I agree. And look, we know why they kept him down. That's just the deal. That's baseball, and they kept him down so he wouldn't be a super 2. And then he wouldn't lose a year of arbitration and all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad he's here. He's not in the lineup tonight, but thinking of Trump and Heineman and seeing him, it's almost like they took the little leaguers out and put in the major leaguers.
Oh, man, he's just a stud. I mean, he looks like he's been around a long time. He's very calm, but there's a menacing air about him when he steps into the plate. He looks like a real good catcher. He's done some great framing of pitches already, and I'm upset he's not playing tonight. I wonder why. Why not?
Yeah, good question. Zach Gallen is a tough right-hander. Maybe what can I tell you? Maybe they thought they must have some analytical reason, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they do, yeah.
I believe that Zach Gallen's slider is in the zone that Bart can't get up to it. or something like that. But let's see, the pitching much better. The rotation. All right, so now, Bruce, what do they do next week? I know it's two here and then three with the Dodgers, and we've got a whole week of baseball. But here we are again at the crossroads of August 31st.
Yeah, well, that is interesting. You know, what they're in the race. It seems inconceivable, but there is a race to be in, and they're in it. They're not solidly in it by any means, but if they keep hitting this way, you wonder. They're certainly not going to trade. I wouldn't trade anybody who's performing well, you know, whether it's Logan Webb or any of these young guys. I mean, yeah. You know, the older guys are, I don't think they have a whole lot of value. And, you know, it's such a different trading deadline because, you know, you're not going to give up your young kids. I think teams are very reluctant to acquire somebody who's going to be a free agent or jack up the payroll. I mean, who knows, maybe, you know, next season we're in the same boat, you know, with teams are. For sure, they've lost a lot of money. Even if the fans are back next season, they've lost a ton of money that they need to get back. And there's just the matter of trading someone during a pandemic can be pretty traumatic for the player involved. I mean, you have to do what you got to do. I just don't think there's going to be a whole lot of trades on a major level. And for the Giants, you know, obviously they're certainly not a complete team, but I can't see one area where they absolutely have to do something. I mean, you can't just get a Liam Hendricks. You can't, you know, a closer would be nice. I don't think they have that, but you know, that seems a bit unlikely they could get somebody of that caliber in relief.
Well, if they thought they could win, maybe. But when I say win, get in the playoffs, because look, and we'll talk about Tatis in a second here. But the Padres, Dodgers look like they are a little bit better than the Rockies and Diamondbacks. And the jury's out for me on the Giants right now. They could turn into a team that could, you know, challenge for second. So I think that's the big question, is how far can you go? And then if you got rid of Cueto, Gausman, or Tony Watson, how many minor leaguers do you need? I mean, how many can they use down there in Sacramento? There's no more room.
No, not at all. I mean, Gausman, I could see he's not under contract for next year. I'd really like to see him keep Cueto. I mean, you know, whether they think they can win it or not. I mean, he's just a great pitcher. And you know, next year if they've got to get a full season. Who knows where you can go with all this young talent? So I don't know. It's kind of a puzzler. I mean, you know, to me, to think you can win it, I really think you have to win the whole thing to make a big, really make an impact this year. To say that you made the playoffs is almost like, you know, well, some of the teams didn't even play enough games, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you do win it, that's going to be a hell of a distinction. To me, you might put an asterisk on it, but not because it loses meaning. I mean, whoever gets through this, you know, through all the uncertainty, and you know, there's a lot of anxiety among the players, and it's certainly on so many levels. You know, and to think that you could go all the way through and win it all, I think is going to be a very honorable thing to have accomplished. But to come close, I don't know. I don't know if that really makes a huge difference this year.
Okay, all right. Well, they've got to decide that next week. And your points are all well taken. John Shea wrote about it, and I'm sure next weekend we'll have a lot more to talk about after these five games, two with Arizona and three with the Dodgers. We'll learn a lot more if it's definitive one way or another. You did write about Tatis this week. He had the audacity to swing away at a 3-0 pitch that a pitcher threw. My God, what was he thinking about?
Oh, man. First of all, I love that kid. Love watching him. He's one of the great players in the game, and he's just getting started now. I mean, he does everything. He makes some unbelievable plays. He has great power. He hits for average, and he loves the big moment, and he's an entertainer. You know, his dad was more of an old school guy and didn't want to show up anybody, and he was a heck of a player too. But this kid is, he's a new age You know, like so many of the great Latin players, he's got a lot of flair and exuberance to him, which I completely love and always have, going back to Roberto Clemente, and you know, I could just name you so many great players, you know, Mini Minoso. But, you know, if you're – every at-bat is precious, especially this season, but to somebody like Tatis, who just can't wait to show his stuff, to sit there and go, well – tradition says you just let this pitch go by. He doesn't hear that.
No.
And why should he? You know, if you're gonna groove a 3-0 pitch, it should be crushed. So I thought that was, you know, we are both, you know, the Lord knows, old enough to remember a time when that would really ruffle some feathers. But I thought it was interesting that Jace Tingler, the manager, was a little upset at first, and he made sure Tatis was part of the post game and to be, you know, sort of apologetic. But then, you know, not long after that, I think Jace Tingler admitted that, you know, we're in a different time. Mm-hmm. And there are things to get upset about, like, you know, you throw at somebody's head, or you come in sliding too hard, or maybe you steal third with a 15-0 lead. certainly not with a 6-0 lead, which Tatis did, and people got upset over that. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Hey, Sean Anderson came in very high and tight to Trout in that first incident. No warnings, no nothing. Longoria got drilled right between the numbers, and you felt that, in my opinion, he was throwing at him, but he doesn't have the command to do it. I thought that was a very dangerous situation, and I'm glad that nothing happened. But I thought Anderson went after him. I really did.
Well, he was definitely trying to buzz him. You could almost see with the way the ball left his hand.
Yeah.
But, you know, after the second one, there has to be a warning. You know, I mean, geez. I certainly don't think Anderson was aiming up there. I don't know if you saw it. I was happening to listening to an ESPN game one night, and Rick Sutcliffe was on talking about that, I think with Joe Kelly. And how Drysdale, Don Drysdale, who was about as nasty as anyone who ever lived, and threw a lot of hitters, but he didn't throw at the head. And Drysdale said, "Listen, if you sometimes you just have to hit a guy because it's just time or to retaliate." Mm-hmm. And as you release the ball, make sure you know you're aiming around the waist, because you know, as you go into your windup, the blood starts to boil. Like, I'm going to hit you, you son of, you know, and it gets to the point where your adrenaline can just take over in the ball. Sure enough, the ball's coming out of your hand closer to the head than you want, and that's where it goes. He goes, I would aim around the waist, so if it does get away from me, it's still going to come in around the shoulder. Mm-hmm. But if you aim it in the shoulder and your blood's boiling too hot, you just might hit the guy in the head without really meaning to, which I thought was interesting. But I think in Anderson's case, you know, I was talking to Henry Schulman about it. The Giants feel that he doesn't really know how to pitch inside. And when it comes time to do it, you get something like this, which is inexcusable. So that's something that Anderson's going to have to work out, because, you know, you have to pitch inside. And I don't think it would have been a terrible, terrible thing if he'd hit Trout in the butt or even the shoulder, but you know, the way that unfolded, it was pretty appalling, and I credit Trout for keeping his head.
Well, for remaining and keeping his head, literally.
Yeah, he still had one. Yeah,
he still had, thank goodness.
When you throw behind a guy's head, that's especially frightening, because your first reaction when a ball may hit you is to back off it.
Bruce, I'm telling you, those were very dangerous pitches.
Yeah.
And I love Trout. I just like the way he plays the game. He glides. And, you know, he needs some help around him. He does. He needs some people around him. But they're trying, but it's a pleasure to watch him play.
Oh, gracious, yeah. I mean, sometimes people get upset with so many players adopting a launch angle stance, and they strike out too much, and everything's a big uppercut, and sometimes it's just not smart and this and that, but Mike Trout has the most perfect launch angle swing I think I've ever seen. He had certainly never been a better one. I mean, you know, you pitch him anything lower around the belt or even, you know, a little bit above that, it's just a thing of beauty. And, you know, he does it. It's not that he's hitting everything out of the park. He's just hitting it hard.
Yeah.
And he doesn't strike out a ton. And what are you going to say about somebody like that? I mean, a young kid who you'd rather be him a little bit smarter, you know, get a little bit more level swing. But if you are going to do it, watch Trout because it's really compact. That's the best thing about it. He's not just coming out of his shoes. I mean, he could hit without any shoes. He'd be Shoeless Mike up there.
Shoeless Mike Trout.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Bruce, have a great evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. The Yastrzemski's birthday weekend. Carl today and Mike tomorrow. How about that?
How about that? Mike's born the day after Carl turned, I think, he was 51, I think. Carl turned 51 the day before the kid was born. So, yeah, great connection there. Jeez, really good, really fun.
Yeah, we'll chat about that tomorrow. And also Marichal Roseboro, that anniversary today. We'll talk about that tomorrow, too.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. Have a great night. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Marty.
Okay, that is Bruce Jenkins. More coming.